everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Christy Cates, Chair of the Musical Theater Department at New York Film Academy. Thank you so much for joining us today, Christy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Christy, tell us about you first. We always get to know the person before the program, so I want to hear about your career and the series of events that led you up to your time at NYFA.
Sure. So I grew up in Northern California and the youngest of six, and really the only person in my family interested in musical theater. I mean, my mom has a great appreciation for it. And my dad played guitar and sang, but it was not really something that was in my family. And my parents started me in a summer program in my small town, which I loved. I would go to swim in the mornings, part of the swim team, and then go to this theater camp, every summer right after swim practice. And it was so much fun. I loved it, but I didn't know that performing was a career, I guess. I went and I did shows all through middle school, and I went to a school in Napa, a high school in Napa, that was a private Catholic school, not focused on the arts or anything like that, but it attracted a lot of really talented people in the surrounding area because the gentleman who ran the program was well known all over California for his theater programs. And just put on really spectacular productions. And I'm happy to say that, like, when I say six or seven of us in the 4 years that I was at this school, actually at this small, tiny school in Napa where there were like 100 kids in each class, seven of us made it to Broadway or national tours. So it was a really wonderful, launching pad for me. And when I was in school, I really thought that I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an entertainment lawyer. And I still, at this point, growing up in California, so far from anyone on Broadway or, professionally doing this, I just really still had no idea that it could be a career. And when I was 17, I was cast in a regional / community production of Into the Woods. I was cast as the witch, and I think I got paid like $500 to do this run of Into the Woods. And the director of the show happened to be a man who did a lot of work regionally and at Paper Mill Playhouse. He worked a bunch of times. He is the conductor on the Sweeney Todd with Angela Lansbury, rest in peace. His name's Jim Coleman. He's from the Bay Area. He came back to direct this show and he said, I really think you could have a career in this, but you need to go to school first. And he said, you have to go to the Cincinnati Conservatory. And I did apply and audition many other places, but at the end of the day, I did choose to go to CCM. And it was a great choice for me. I spent four, great years there learning about, everything you need to know in terms of skills for musical theater. Not everything, that's giving myself too much credit. But it was a great program. I graduated in 1999, and my class was incredible. My class was Shoshana Bean, Leslie Kritzer, Sarah Gettelfinger, Justin Patterson. Like it was a really phenomenal class. And I moved to New York in 1999, after graduating, and I did a couple of off-Broadway gigs before I landed my big break, which was the original cast of Wicked on Broadway as Adina's understudy. Where do I go from there? Yes, I did Wicked for 4 years. I opened the national, well, didn't officially open, but I filled in the national tour up in Toronto after Stephanie had unfortunately gotten injured. So I was there temporarily. I played Elphaba for a year in Chicago, which was amazing and wonderful and life-changing. And I came back to New York And I got the opportunity to teach some master classes. You know, Wicked opened so many doors for me in so many different ways. And, you know, while I was playing Elphaba, I did some stuff at the local schools in Chicago, and I did a master class at a theater where I was doing a concert, and I found that I really, really loved it. And I was good, I felt like, at seeing the potential in a person and seeing, okay, how about if we try this approach? How does that change your performance? I hate to say this, but I didn't really know what I was doing, but it was a wonderful intuitive connection with the person that I was working with at any given time. And I think that that made me really fall in love with this thing, this teaching, this mentorship that I hadn't really explored in the past. So I came back to New York City. I did some regional productions. I began a really lovely voiceover career and some print work, which were both kind of unexpected. And then I got the opportunity to teach even more master classes. And around that time, the New York Film Academy was launching their musical theater program here. And of course, the New York Film Academy is known for filmmaking, acting for film, cinematography, photography, all of these other mediums of the business. And VP Boyle, a gentleman whose name many people might recognize, started the musical theater program here. And it was a lovely marriage between stage and screen, which was something really interesting and unusual back in 2009 when the program started. And I was lucky enough to be the original song interpretation teacher. And it just started this absolute love affair with teaching and with helping someone explore their potential within musical theater and performance. After about 4 or 5 years, I became the creative director of the program, which basically just means that I was in charge of all of our live performances, producing, picking the shows, new initiatives that we would do. And then I became the chair of the program 2 weeks before the pandemic hit.
Oh, how lucky.
Yeah. So it was kind of wild, you know, as the creative director, I was able to do a couple of other Broadway shows, Finding Neverland and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then once I accepted the position of chair, I knew that there would be a change in my life. It would be difficult to really head a program and simultaneously do a Broadway show. I'm not saying that couldn't happen and won't happen. But I was very consciously making a decision in my life. And then the world had an entirely different idea of the challenges I and everyone else would face. It was like, great, here is this wonderful opportunity. But at the same time, here's this overwhelming disaster of sorts for everyone to try to navigate. Mm-hmm. So
beautiful. And now we're at a point now where there's some big change coming as well for NYFA, including a new degree that's going to be offered. So before we dive into exactly what each of the degrees or each of the programs entail, tell us which programs and degrees you oversee as chair.
Absolutely. So as chair of the musical theater department, I oversee the 1 and 2 year, you know, conservatory programs. And now we will be offering the BFA in musical theater beginning fall of next year.
Great.
Yeah.
So let's first talk about the 1 and 2 year programs and just sort of give an overview on those. And then we'll dive into this new BFA program, which is really exciting. So explain to us what the 1 and 2 year conservatory programs are and sort of who they're for.
Absolutely. You know, the 1 and 2 year programs are really for anyone. You know, obviously you have to have your high school degree. Obviously you have to audition for and be accepted into these programs. But these programs are, we have hosted all sorts of different, beautifully talented, wonderfully brilliant people over the years. So we have had students here in our conservatory who have graduated and had a successful life somewhere else in anything like graphic design or finance. We had someone who was a nurse for quite some time, and they thought, you know what? Here's my opportunity to go to New York City, study with Broadway professionals at a Broadway training program for 1 or 2 years and see where I go from there. We obviously have students who have just graduated from high school, and they know that a conservatory program without any of the general ed classes are exactly what they want to do. They want a fast track to come in, learn from professionals, be here in the city that launches Broadway careers. You know, they know that they want to do that. They know they want to be in class all day, every day, breathing and living this art form. And that's really, really the conservatory in a nutshell. I mean, we have, of course, singing, dancing, acting, all the fundamentals of musical theater in this first year. And we have numerous performance opportunities. We have master classes. And then if students choose to stay for the second year, which most do, we then add in what makes us really unique, which is this element of on-camera. So we have on-camera acting classes, we have movie musical projects, we go into the studio and record vocals, and students learn how to lip sync to those vocals. I teach a voiceover course where students leave with a fully produced voiceover demo. And we do what traditional schools do, which is a, we call it our industry panel at the end of the second year, where agents and casting directors come in and our students have the opportunity to sit with these amazing individuals after their graduation panel and get immediate feedback. So yeah, it's a really like fast paced, immersive experience that students, you know, choose for 1 or 2 years, very non-traditional. But again, something that makes our program so unique is that we are all working professionals, and we all are here in New York City continuing to audition and perform and conduct and music direct and direct. I mean, we have teachers who have their own off-Broadway theater companies and programming directors at 54 Below and directors on cruise ships and casting people. And it's a really lovely group of humans who are themselves still immersed in the business.
And so why add the BFA program? Like, what does the BFA program now offer that those 2 years don't? It may seem like an obvious question, but I just want to spell it out.
No, thank you so much for asking. I mean, I think at the end of the day, people want a degree. Not everybody, but a lot of people do want that degree, which I absolutely, and as a parent, completely understand. We decided to offer the BFA because while the 1 and 2 year programs are spectacular and our students have gone on to do amazing things all over the world, it is a really short amount of time to sort of step out of the door and feel like you're 100% ready. So with the 4 year program, the 4 year BFA, we, you know, of course, offer so many of the same classes or similar classes that we're offering in the conservatory, but there's a much heavier focus on learning about the business, about audition technique in many different ways. We have even more on camera classes. We have classes where you are putting together your, you know, tangible things that you need for this business, like media and websites and, you know, audition footage, all of those sort of things. We're really trying to cover really everything you need, your full toolkit, not only your skills, but the practical things you need to step out and be successful.
So this degree program will start with the first group coming in this fall. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And so if I am one of those incoming first years, what does my first year schedule look like? What is it that I'm studying as soon as I get there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have sight singing and theory, acting, song interpretation, voice studio lab, which is essentially a small group voice lesson. We have ballet, we have jazz. Every semester you have private voice lessons. You have 15 lessons a semester. And then you also have a few of those LAS classes, like first year seminar, English comp. That's first semester. And as you move into second semester, we have acting to audition technique, performance lab, voice and speech, ballet, jazz, and again, private voice. And then we have more general ed. Now, I just want to say a word about the general ed. I think they've done a really beautiful job with our gen ed classes. You know, we aren't a part of a huge university. So what I think is so great about our gen ed classes is that they are mostly all focused on the business. So you have film art, you have psychology of the performer, you have dramatic literature, you have science in the movies, so history of musical theater, of course. So we really are focused on staying immersed in the arts, even with the gen ed classes. So Yeah, everything is performance-based. You have performance opportunities that first year when you come in. But you will see in that first year, it really is starting with building upon those fundamentals of musical theater.
Let's talk about those performance opportunities a little bit more. How many shows are you producing a year? Let's go through the season, so to speak.
Terrific. Yeah, we have a fall and spring main stage musical. We are actually getting ready to put up Addams Family next weekend. In 2 weekends. Oh, don't want to jump the gun there. So we do 2 main stage musicals a year. We do a new works series where we find, you know, emerging composers who have works that would benefit from a reading. So our students get to be in the room as these shows are. Most of the time they come to us fully ready to go, but there are edits being made constantly. You know, it's very similar to a 29-hour reading. So our students have the opportunities to sort of be in that room where the creation happens, be part of that process, understand what it's like to maybe be the first person ever to be singing a song that isn't the composer. And we bring in wonderful Broadway, you know, associate directors for the most part. Katie Davis was just with us last time, and Katie is the associate on Beetlejuice and Moulin Rouge. She's amazing, so she came in to direct one of our shows. And yeah, I love the New Work series. I have a passion for new work and giving people the platform to have their you know, passion worked on with care and with love and respect, and give them a place to have that seen. We're better than in New York City. And of course, as we are in a film school, we're able to give them a wonderful highway, New York City. a wonderful filmed version that they can use, you know, for whatever they might need in their steps moving forward. We have open mic nights, which we lovingly call Broadway in the Battery, and students are invited to get up and perform whatever they'd like. There's a winner each of these evenings who then becomes the host of the next Broadway in the Battery. Yeah, we have, you know, end of year showcases and lots of in-class stuff where we invite people into the classroom to see the work that's being done.
So end of the year showcases, talk to us about how the showcase works in a normal, I don't want to say normal university, but in a classic university. The showcase is done at the end of the 4 years for the seniors, but you just said end of the year. So does that include your 1 and 2 year programs, and will it also jumping forward 3 years, what's that senior showcase going to look like? Same for everyone?
Yeah, great question. So the 1 year program in the conservatory, we have a showcase for family and friends. We don't bring in casting people and agents for that 1 year showcase. At the end of the 2 year conservatory, as I had spoken about before, we do have that industry panel. And at the end of our 4 year BFA, you know, I don't know that I'm ready to tell you definitively at this point in time what that looks like, because we do have a little bit of time, and I am so uber aware that the industry is shifting and changing that I know what my main objective will be, and that is to have the students present their hard work, showcase themselves, you know, for, we're here in New York City. I hate to say it's easy for us, but it is, you know, we have our own theater, and we're able to be flexible with what the industry is dictating at any given time because of that. So I wouldn't want to tell you exactly what it looks like in 4 years from now, but I can tell you that we will be very aware of the industry demands and what it is that our you know, casting directors and agents need to see from our students in order to have them move their careers mm-hmm. forward post-graduation.
And when you were telling us about the performance opportunities, you said we are a film school. So how did it come to pass that there is a musical theater program plopped down in a film school? Because that's a question that I get sometimes. They're like, oh, they have musical theater. Why are they called New York Film Academy?
Yeah, I know. It is. It's amazing to me that still all these years later that we've been in existence and we have so many wonderful alumni representing us in, shows across the country and across the globe. It is, you know, it is not intuitive that we have a musical theater department in the New York Film Academy. But the program came about at a time when movie musicals were really making a resurgence, you know, Chicago and Hairspray and, I'm sure I'm forgetting all the ones that were happening back in like the late 2000s. But it seemed like the perfect opportunity to marry these two disciplines together. Glee was happening, you know, it was the perfect time to give students who were interested in that sort of crossover world the opportunity to explore both mediums. Mm.
And Emma McGlinchey, who is my coordinator here, is an alum of NYFA. She did I have several NYFA, former NYFA students that work for me now. Our designer, Maite. So we certainly know a lot about the program around here. And if anyone wants to speak to anyone else here.
Emma walked in her first semester and got the lead in chess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She
just went on Titanic.
Yes. I saw that. That's so fabulous. Really great.
And we're good friends with Joey around here, too. So NYFA is no stranger around us.
And you said Maite as well?
Maite, yeah. Yep.
Oh, fabulous. Wonderful Sally Bowles, yes.
Terrific. Well, while we're on the subject of notable alum, not just here at the College Audition, I know the list is very long, but can you talk us through some recent notable alum?
Absolutely. We have Ilda Mason, who was in West Side Story on Broadway and very heavily featured in the Spielberg movie, which was just so thrilling to watch those simultaneous dreams of hers come true. She's such a special human. We have Jeff Sullivan, who I have to just tell you this very, very brief story. Jeff Sullivan graduated from our program quite some time ago, and he came to see Finding Neverland on Broadway when I was in Finding Neverland. And we had these little peas backstage that were felt peas, and they were I'm probably gonna get myself in trouble right now, and they were part of the scene that took place in the dining room where I don't know if anyone saw Finding Neverland. I hope you did. It was so beautiful. But it's this giant dining room, and they have, you know, this fake food, and these peas are tiny, tiny little felt peas. And Jeff came, and I gave him a backstage tour, and I grabbed a pea, and I gave it to him, and I said, "You keep this." And as a good luck charm, as a way to you know, here you are backstage with me, one of your instructors, I really believe in you. So take this pea, and when you book something big, you're going to pass the pea to someone else. I have no idea if he did. But years later, Jeff booked J.M. Barrie in the national tour of Finding Neverland, and I had the pleasure of getting to see him in that role. And it was so incredibly full circle to watch this young man be so spectacular in a show that was so close to my heart. It just was fabulous. Anyway, he is in Tina now, the national tour of Tina. We have Jesbal Binning, who has done a ton of stuff on Netflix, and he has a movie of his own coming out, or a series, pardon me, of his own coming out. He's done quite a lot of, he's one of our musical theater graduates who has found quite a lot of success on camera. Corben is just rehearsing right now the national tour of Beetlejuice. We have students who, we have a student, Misha, who is huge in Japan. Singing, she got chosen to be the voice of a Disney princess there. We have a lot of people doing a lot of really cool things.
Yeah. And what about faculty, other than, of course, your illustrious career? And I know Deidre is there. Tell us about some other notable faculty there.
Of course. We have our head of dance, who is Michelle Potter, who is a very long-running dance captain in Chicago musical. We have Todd Buonapane, who has been seen in Cinderella and Spelling Bee on Broadway. We have Jennifer Swiderski, who has done about a million productions of Mamma Mia, but most notably was a longtime member of the Broadway cast there. We have Robert Schneider, who's directing currently our Addams Family, who is a program director at 54 Below and runs J2 Spotlight Theater off Broadway. We have a lot of amazing people.
Great. Yeah. And I'll cut you off so that if you forgot anyone, it's my fault and
did
not
totally,
you.
Oh my God.
And I should also note. No, that's fine. I should also note while you're looking that Christy is actually able to time travel since this is coming out in February. What she meant to say is that Adam's Family was lovely. It was very successful.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. My fault for not telling you.
No, it's totally fine. Let me just look up. We have so many. Okay.
Of course.
Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to go back to our faculty. Can I pick up on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. We have Dave Solomon, who has been the associate director on many Broadway shows, including Sideshow, Tootsie, 9 to 5. So many others, frankly. Stephen Nakami, who is the associate director on She Loves Me. Joshua Zecker Ross, who was a music director and conductor for Be More Chill. We have James Lane, who's currently on tour now, but he was in Kiss Me Kate, King Kong, Scottsboro Boys. One of our voice teachers is with Sandria Woolsey, who was in Parade, the original Parade, Beauty and the Beast, Chess. Bronson Murphy, who is currently in Phantom of the Opera, Katie Adams, who I did the Wicked tour very briefly with, Carissa Bertles, who was in Christmas Story on Broadway. Yeah, our teachers have a very varied background. Yeah.
Amazing. And that whole list is available on the website, too. So if you want to reference those and you're listening and weren't taking notes, that is available on the website. I see our listeners can't see, but I see out your back window where you are right in downtown New York. Tell us sort of about the campus life there and what it looks like what is student life like in that area?
Oh, sure. We are in Battery Park, which is in my opinion, one of the most beautiful parts of New York City. We are all the way downtown, and from nearly all of our studios here in the musical theater wing, when you look out, you are looking unobstructed at the Statue of Liberty, which is phenomenal, frankly. It's phenomenal. We have the beautiful Battery Park right across from us, where a lot of our students like to go and, you know, eat lunch and spend some time in the park. And we like to do our Shakespeare classes and sometimes voice and speech out in the park when it's nice. We're right near a whole bunch of trains. So while it might feel daunting to get, you know, all the way downtown, we are very, very accessible. And it's really open down here, which I think is a lovely thing. There's so much history here in Battery Park. And when you come down here and you're right at the water, I find it's a really wonderful place to recharge. But you're also a 15-minute express train right away from Times Square. You know, you can be at a Broadway show in 15, 20 minutes. So it's sort of the best of both worlds here in this lower part of Manhattan. We are in a very old historic building. We have the fourth and fifth floor are classrooms, edit labs, offices, things like that. All of our classes in musical theater that are not screen classes, because those are on the other side of the building. But all of our musical theater classes are here on the fourth floor in our little musical theater wing. Not little, our large musical theater wing. We have our dance studios, and we have our private voice studios / practice rooms. And our first floor, we have a theater, which is such a blessing to be a school here in New York City and have our own theater. It doubles as a screening room. So we do share it with the rest of the school, and there are lots of movies screened there. We have, a lot of talkbacks, masterclasses that happen in the theater. And then, of course, our showcases, our panel, our main stage shows. Yeah.
Great. And so now tell us, is there student housing available now that you have a 4-year program?
Yes,
that's going to be a question.
Yeah, there always has been housing available. We have a really, really, really lovely facility in Brooklyn. So it's, I think, like a 15 or 20 minute subway ride at most. And that has been available because we do here have a BFA available in filmmaking and acting for film. But we have many conservatory students that stay in these dorms. And it's really lovely. It's a really lovely space.
So let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process. You do things a little bit differently than most. So let's talk about sort of how auditions go now and if anything's going to change for BFA.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I want to give a huge shout out to my partner in crime, if you will, Joey Zangardi Dixon, who is our head of musical theater recruitment. And he's really the person that travels so much and speaks to students about our program. Right now, I know he's making his way through about 600 auditions. And what he will do after going through those auditions from, I believe these were all from the Texas Thespian events, is that he will give students that we are interested in callbacks. And my role really is to attend as many callbacks and initial auditions, frankly, in person as I can. But what makes us unique is that we currently do not have pre-screens, and we do accept audition videos. So we are seeing a lot of people, and we are reaching out to those that we feel would be a really good fit for here here at NYFA. And I just got to go to my notes really quick because I did talk to Jimmy about this. Yeah. So for our conservatory, we need two contrasting songs and a monologue from an American play. And like I said, we accept videos and we do Zoom auditions. And it's really, honestly, though, not that different for the BFA. We have added a dance component and a wild card component. So we still are looking for those two musical theater pieces. We're still looking for that monologue. We need to know that you can, you know, move and have some, I hesitate to say dance ability, but some movement ability, some connection to music physically, that is important. And then your wild card, you know, whatever you'd like to show us that makes you unique. And with these auditions, if it's okay to go ahead and say a little bit of what we're looking for.
Of course.
I can speak for myself. I'm not looking for a finished product. I don't need our auditionees to go out and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to have amazing sound and the perfect backdrop. I don't need you to rent a huge studio. If you want to do that, absolutely. But what I need to know is that you have an ability to be a storyteller, that you are finding pieces that you connect with. I know that it might sound like this is impossible, but I really do feel when I'm watching an audition, I can tell the song that the student, the potential student, has chosen for themselves and really loves versus the thing that someone said, oh, sing this, this would be great for your audition. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate how much you need to connect to your material. And I think the other important thing is that we aren't looking to know that you can play, a very popular song for auditions seems to be Roxy from Chicago, which, you know, it's a good song, but I don't need to know that you can play Roxy Hart in Chicago because I'm not casting anything. I'm looking to welcome our students into this musical theater at NYFA family where you're going to thrive, where you are going to become your best performance, but also personal self. And it's harder for me to know that if you're showing me that you can play a character instead of showing me yourself.
And where do the auditions, the actual auditions take place? Are they, I know that Joey is on the road constantly at recruitment events, yeah. And he watches auditions there. Are those considered final auditions or how are the kids actually seen?
No. So Joey will go to those recruitment auditions and he will watch those initial auditions and then call people in for individual auditions with us. It can be in person. It can be via Zoom. We can invite them to audition by sending in audition materials, videos. But no, those are not, it's not just going to an event and saying, hey, you're in. We do have a rigorous process where a panel of us do watch these auditions. I mean, even if I'm auditioning a person one-on-one in a studio, it's still being filmed and uploaded to be shared with the panel of individuals who are deciding who becomes part of our family here.
Yeah. Beautiful. And so what advice do you have as students are preparing for their NYFA audition? I know that you said you gave us a hint of what you're looking for, but how can they best prepare?
I think at the end of the day, musical theater is so personal. You know, I think that we don't want it to be. It feels like a performance medium. But when you are studying any sort of performance, acting, singing, dancing, you really are diving into yourself to share that with others, to share that passion with others. So my advice would be, instead of looking at a song and saying, ooh, Don't Rain on My Parade shows my big belty voice, like that's fabulous, and I'm so happy to know that you can sing that or need to work on it, whichever the case might be. But I'm much more interested in learning about what speaks to you and what speaks to your heart. I think that it also shows me that you know you. And I understand 17 years old, you know, you're still learning. You're still learning about yourself. But my biggest piece of advice is don't choose a monologue or a song because your friend said, hey, this is a great audition song because you hit these high notes. At the end of the day, it's not the best singer who gets the job. This is after 3 years in New York. It's not the best singer that gets the job. It's sort of like the given of the musical theater math equation, if you will. The given is that you can sing. The variable is whether or not you can tell a story while singing. So all right. I really am looking for someone's potential. I'm not looking to cast. I'm not like, we must have 5 men and 5 women and we must have the romantic lead and the leading lady. Like I'm not casting classes. I am looking for individuals who have something special to offer, and that really starts with knowing yourself and knowing what it is that you're hoping someone after watching your audition walks away with. I feel like those are the most successful auditions, are when I feel like I walk away and I know not only can you belt an E, but that this one line in this one song really moved you, and I saw a very genuine moment, a connection, a truth in storytelling. That's exciting to me. That's really exciting to me. Not that you're going to hit all the notes. So my advice is, sorry, I was got very, very talky there, but my advice is pick things that when you listen to them, you're moved and you can't wait to sing that and share that with us.
Well said. So one of the last questions I always ask our guest, tell us something you're looking forward to in the coming year.
Oh, wow. you know, getting the accreditation for a BFA program is not for the faint of heart, like going after it was such a labor of love creating this 4-year curriculum and really, you know, sorry, I'm backtracking just a little bit here, but one thing I have learned in all my time here in New York City is that I graduated from a brilliant, wonderful musical theater program, and I came here with the skills, right? I at that point in time could sing, dance, and act to the very best of my ability. I did know some, sight singing skills, and I did have some idea about auditions and audition technique. But what I didn't know were the other opportunities that would be awaiting me. So what I'm really, really excited about with our BFA program in particular is that we are looking at the whole actor. So I am excited for students to come in and immerse themselves not only in musical theater, but also learn all about on camera and also being behind the camera, right? What is cinematography? What does the sound person do on a set? What is a voiceover demo? How do you analyze voiceover copy? If you are given the opportunity to audition for a voiceover, are you going to walk in and know what you're doing? Are you going to nail it? Do you have basically the headshot and resume, which is the voiceover demo? Do you have that tool to be able to start submitting yourself for that sort of work? Do you know what it is to go to a print audition? What happens when you book a print job? There are so many other avenues of this business that I think are overlooked. And so I'm excited to offer this very comprehensive performing artist BFA, which will help people diversify their acting, basically their performer portfolio, if you will. So I'm really, really looking forward to diving into the BFA curriculum with these students and seeing where that takes everyone. And I'm excited to just see all of our hard work and all of our truly our passion come to fruition. I mean, we're a group of humans here who are not just teaching in theory. You know, we've been through it. We've done it. We have been in those rooms. We have had the hard times. So I'm excited to be able to share all of that with a new generation here now that we are mostly post-pandemic, and just explore together. You know, what is the future of musical theater? I think we here in colleges really hold the key, quite honestly, to so much change. Yeah. And so how do we explore that together, you know?
Yeah. If students or parents are looking to get more information on NYFA and the new BFA program, what's the best way to get in touch?
Absolutely. I'm happy to have anyone email me, and I know Joey would be the same. If you are looking to schedule a Zoom meeting or have an email conversation or phone conversation, we are always available. My email is kcates, so kcates, at nyfa.edu, and Joey is joey@nyfa.edu.
Great. Well, Christy, again, so wonderful to have you here today and learn more about your exciting new BFA program. And we hope to see you around here again real soon.
Thank you so much, Tim. Really, really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.